If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. And welcome to another episode of Manual Mode. Today, I'm talking with Reagan Byrne, a Boston-based beverage and restaurant photographer with some of the most stunning drink shots your eyes will ever behold. She shot for a host of both local and national brands, most notably Sam Adams. She'd never tell you this, but she's an absolute wizard when it comes to studio drink shots, and I'm forever in awe of the behind-the-scenes clips that she shares on Instagram. For example, the time she created a fake pool with hair dryers. She's an absolute connoisseur of beverage drinking, and I'm hoping one day we'll get an app with direct access to her so she can tell us all what to order every time we see a confusing drink menu. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Reagan Byrne. Okay, so Reagan, you're a great photographer and you are just crushing the game these days with your images and just everything you're creating. But I know that you are self-taught and you started in restaurants. So can you take me back to kind of that period of time and tell me just how you got started in all of this?
First of all, that intro just boosted my ego so much. So thank you. And I might have to write down that app idea because that's kind of brilliant. But yes, I am a self-taught photographer. I've actually only been interested, let alone a working photographer, for about 4 years. I originally went to school for zoology with a minor in tourism and started working in hotels immediately after college. I was in hotels for a couple of years and eventually became really burnt out with the hours and the demands of that particular industry, and ended up working in restaurants to kind of take a break. And I told myself that eventually I'd go back whenever I was ready. And then I just never went back. I started working at a restaurant here in Boston that placed a lot of emphasis on staff education and emphasis on the stories behind the producers and farmers or brewers or whoever. And I learned so much during that job that's kind of where my passion for food and beverage blossomed. I can't say that's where it started because my parents are both wonderful cooks, and I definitely grew up in a home that encouraged us to try new things and valued good food and good drinks. But I definitely learned so much at that particular restaurant job, and it kind of opened my eyes to this world of like highlighting the stories and the producers behind what you're eating and drinking. I think that's kind of not necessarily a newer movement, but it definitely gets a lot more publicity now with social media and the internet. That restaurant is also where I got my first big break, I guess you could say. The marketing director at the time, who is still a close friend of mine, but she just noticed the photos that I was posting on my Instagram for fun and asked me if I would help with the restaurant's social media. And it was kind of in that moment that it occurred to me that food photography was even a job that people got paid potentially a lot of money to do. And I started looking into it, and my family likes to joke that I just became a photographer overnight because I really just kind of decided that's what I wanted to do and dove in and learned as much as I could, as fast as I could. And everything just took off from there.
Okay, so I know we're here to talk about photography, but I need to go back for a second and talk about the zoology thing.
Yes.
So what made you want to do that originally?
I always wanted to be a vet.
Okay.
Especially from a young age, that's what I thought that I was going to be forever. And except once I actually got to college, or I started studying along that track, I just didn't want to spend that much time in school. So I did kind of dabble in a few other areas related to zoology. I did research on whale watch boats and worked on like at Audubon societies and things like that, but nothing ever really felt right. The tourism aspect eventually came into play because I thought maybe conservation linked with tourism and wildlife could lead somewhere, but instead I ended up working in hotels, and I guess just never, zoology kind of got left behind a little bit.
So then when, like, I know restaurants are also kind of a high-paced, demanding environment, so it's interesting to me that you were kind of burnt out in hotels and thought that restaurants were going to be kind of a break. But in what way was that different? Because when I think of that, I think of them as being very similar. But I mean, there must have been a difference if you went to that and found that there was something.
Yeah, I think
was just better about it for you.
Primarily, I was in management in hotels, and okay. I also was involved in hotel openings. So between those two, the responsibilities that I had were, I guess, I also don't think at the time I understood what work-life balance was. Mm-hmm. So taking a job in the restaurant industry let me still play a part in hospitality because it is very similar in that aspect in customer service and everything like that. But I was a server or a bartender, and I didn't have the responsibilities of management, and also didn't participate in any further openings of anything. So
gotcha.
In that way, it was supposed to be a break from the demands of hotels, but instead it became an opening into like the food and beverage world and everything that that entails, including photography.
Right. So you mentioned work-life balance, which is really hard as an entrepreneur. So I'm curious, how do you manage that now? Like, do you still struggle with that now that being an entrepreneur kind of opens up the store to kind of never stopping your work? So what does that look like for you now?
I guess I have two points. It's never something that you stop working towards. I definitely have to make a conscious effort, and it helps having some kind of community, whether that's an online community where I have met people like you or even other entrepreneurs in Boston that can help remind you that it's okay to take time off and that it's okay to prioritize mental health and family and friends. But also, I had a good second point and I forgot what it was.
I mean, I think that was great if you want to go with that.
Well, if I remember what it was, the other one was pretty good too, but.
All right, we can come back to it.
Okay.
So how did working in restaurants and hotels and everything that you did in all your previous careers, what have you taken from those jobs that's helped you be successful as a photographer, as a restaurant photographer, especially?
Primarily, I think it's understanding the hustle of those industries. And restaurants, they run on really tight margins. They have They don't always have a lot of staff. They don't always have a lot of time. Everyone wears 10 hats all at the same time. And I, as a restaurant photographer specifically, I don't think you also have to work like that, but just having respect for them in the way that they have to operate their business helps tremendously. And the more flexible and the more respect you have for their industry and their lifestyle, I think the more they want to work with you. Similarly, when I work with breweries or other small brands, they just, it's just always a hustle. And I guess I'm not afraid of that, but that mutual understanding definitely helps.
Yeah, I've noticed they just have like a real just like look of appreciation in their eyes when you're on a shoot and you're just like, I can move out of your way, or we can do this faster. Like, I know you're busy. Yeah, that's definitely helpful. So can you talk a little bit about getting restaurant clients and just kind of a bit of your strategy, how you pitch, and kind of the importance of relationships when it comes to building a career in that area?
I will try, but I'm honestly, I haven't really had to do a lot of marketing for my restaurant clients. So I don't know if I really have any great advice, but I have been thinking about this. I was really lucky when I did work at the restaurant here in Boston that I made a lot of great connections, and I already kind of had a built-in network. So when I decided, I did drop down to part-time and then eventually left altogether, but I already knew so many people that were willing to support me and give me a chance that I didn't do a lot of marketing myself, I guess. So I have gotten a lot of clients through, I guess, personal marketing or past job experiences, and then also by word of mouth. But I do make a point of reaching out and staying in touch with local PR agencies and other marketing agencies. I don't offer those services myself, so I think it's important that I do have people to refer my clients to if necessary, but also those are the types of people that are also pivotal in either launching new restaurants or helping established restaurants gain more visibility when they need it. And I also have gotten a lot of work through those connections.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously COVID has been really devastating to a lot of industries, probably most notably restaurants. And it's been hard, I know, for those of us who rely on restaurants as clients. And even if we were able to pivot and, you know, do more in studio work for other brands, it's still been kind of strange re-entering now. So can you talk a little bit about how you're navigating that now as restaurants are still coming back to normal and, you know, some are ready to have photography again and some aren't? How are you just kind of dealing with that whole world?
Initially, it really was devastating. I felt like I just wanted to help the industry as a whole and my clients as much as possible. So I did offer to work for free for some clients. And if I wasn't able to do that, I tried my hardest to help promote whatever they were doing, whether that was takeout or virtual events or whatever. I know working for free in the photography world is definitely frowned upon, but in that particular circumstance, it was more important to me that they knew I had their back than worrying about when I was going to, or if I was going to get paid. And similar to like respecting the hustle of restaurants, I think as restaurants did start to come back and were able to have a budget again, that they specifically came back to me because of loyalty and just the like working relationships that we had, to the point where I retained almost all of my clients after this past winter. I pretty much gained them all back, which has been really great. But there's still that level of uncertainty, especially now that we're going into the fall and winter again. And I think people are nervous, but I'm just going to stick with that strategy as helping in any way that I can and promoting when I can and hope for the best.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling that here too. Just like I don't know what's going to happen as things start to get colder. What is it going to look like for restaurants?
Ironically,
and, yeah,
online and like social media presence and marketing became so much more important throughout the pandemic because it was the only way to reach people, especially when everyone was staying home. So in a really backwards way, I think it helped solidify the importance of professional photography in the industry.
Yeah.
As long as the budget allows for it.
Yeah, I think it did that with restaurants and with like more commercial clients, especially when they couldn't have their full teams going into offices and studios to work on creating their content. They're like, oh, we really need someone who can just kind of do this all and figure it out for us and send us the work so we can keep marketing. So, and in a backwards way, it grew business and it was just kind of a very strange up and down time. So talking about studio photography, we have to talk about your beverage work because it's stunning. So first, I want to talk a little bit about your work with Sam Adams. So how did that relationship happen and how have you kind of landed ongoing work with them?
Very, very early in my career. So probably about 4 years ago, I did some work for a vegan snack company that isn't around anymore. But on one of those photo shoots, I worked with a food stylist who is also local and a freelancer. And her and I started following each other on social media. And I mean, we started following each other. And then a couple of years went by. And she recommended me to someone who had just landed a job as, I believe, either like the creative director or the brand manager at Sam Adams. So he reached out to me through her recommendation. And Sam Adams approached me last summer of 2020. So it really couldn't, timing wise, have happened any like better in my situation because I had lost pretty much all of my restaurant clients. But then this really big account came along, and I'll be honest, I panicked. I had never worked like with a brand of that size or produced a shoot of that size before, and there was definitely a big learning curve. But the people over at Sam, they're great, and they were so patient with me. And I think most importantly, they were very honest with me and helped answer questions that I had about like the legal process and contracts and how do I get product and how is the best way to like deliver photos to you and all of those things. So they're just really great over there. And I got super lucky that we were able to build this working relationship. And it turns out that I really love beverage photography. I think maybe not more than restaurant photography because they both have their pros and cons, but I think I feel more passionate about it and have kind of just been leaning into that a bit more since then.
That's awesome. So I enjoy beverage photography, but can't even close to, like, I can't do it at all on your level. And a lot of it is just because it's so tricky. There's so much reflection and the round shapes can be hard to work with. So do you have any tips and tricks that are just kind of your go-to things that you're using a lot when you're working on beverage shots? Even just one or two tricks?
Yes. I do primarily like to shoot with natural light, and I shoot with natural light as much as possible, but that is definitely, it's harder with beverage photography, especially with all the reflections that you can get just through a window pane. So artificial light does help a lot as far as minimizing distractions or unwanted reflections. But if I am shooting with natural light, just being aware of your surroundings, like, is there a bright blue house outside your window? Are you wearing a red shirt? What color are the walls in the room that you're shooting? And then I block off as much as possible with just large poster boards, either black or white, depending on how much light I want in the shot itself, to the point where every set is almost fully enclosed. And that really helps control the environment.
Awesome. So speaking of beverages, it's fall. So what's your favorite thing to drink for fall?
Well, it is Negroni week. I don't know if you're familiar with Negroni week, but so I always kind of find myself craving Negronis around this time. Besides for that, there are definitely some like more complex, like darker rosés that I'm pretty excited about coming out from some of my favorite producers. And then German style beers are always obviously the Marzen and like Fest beer because of Oktoberfest, but even just a Pilsner, I feel like hits differently when the air starts to feel cooler and you get that like maltiness and that crispness. So I have some content coming up that I'm excited about.
We really need this app. Like it was kind of a joke, but it's now becoming very serious for me.
It is a good idea.
So what's next for you? Are you working on anything coming up that you're really excited about? Or I know you just mentioned some content you have coming up. What's kind of on the horizon for you?
I'm definitely leaning more into beverage photography. Since the pandemic, I have come to the realization that I need to differentiate my income a little bit. So like I said, I'm not moving away necessarily from restaurant photography, but I am focusing a lot more on learning beverage photography and kind of building up my portfolio in that respect. And I guess outside of that, I have been playing around with the idea of presets, but not for food and beverage photography. I was never like a hobbyist as far as photography goes. This has just always been a career path for me. But since I have started, I've developed a love for like travel and street photography, but I don't really do anything with it once I have those photos. My editing style is also very different when I take photos like that. So I think I'd love to develop presets that kind of give me that outlet to share some of that work, but also express my creativity in other ways.
I love that, especially because I'm sure beverage photography takes a long time to edit. So just having something that is really easy to edit for some of those fun shots, sounds perfect.
And you really have to be true to like the colors and tones of the product and the food or the liquid. And not that it's restricting, but it's fun to apply different like artistic styles to photos outside of that industry.
I love that. Do you enjoy editing or do you find it kind of tedious?
I love editing. I'm a really technical person, and which I think definitely helped as I was learning photography. I love the technical side of it. I love Lightroom and Photoshop and all the nuances of things that you can do to improve a photo or manipulate a photo. It's all very fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's so fun. All right, so my last question, if you could have any one person dead or alive over for dinner, who would it be and what would you serve them?
Someone else actually asked me this question recently, and it would have to be my grandfather on my dad's side, who I never really knew, but he passed away when I was much younger. But everyone says that I'm very similar to him, and particularly like in our sense of humor. And I think if I had the opportunity, I'd love to know him better. We would definitely have some kind of roast and Yorkshire pudding, very British. He was from England and he loved a good Manhattan, but I think I'd also like to introduce him to some wine just for fun.
I love that. This is so great. Thank you so much.
This was really great. It was so nice to virtually meet you finally.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Manual Mode. I hope you found that interview with Reagan helpful and insightful. I know that I did. I will be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, please rate, review, and subscribe. I'm Mariah Sautel, and you've been listening to Manual Mode.